So our commandment this morning is Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I sort of collect in my life stories about aging. It's partially because I'm a pastor in a mainline Protestant church, and I am keenly and always aware of our ever-creeping average age going up with each passing year. It's partially, I'm sure, because part of my calling in my family right now is to help care for my grandmother as she is aging and experiencing quite a bit of decline. And I think if I'm honest with myself, I collect these stories because while I am relatively young, I really do hope that aging will be one of those human experiences that I will get to experience myself. God willing, I hope that I go around the sun enough times to experience old age. And according to Betty Davis, old age ain't no place for sissies, so I like to collect stories to prepare myself for what might be coming. Now, I collect these stories from my family, right? I collect stories about my grandfather and his decline due to Alzheimer's, about my grandma and her Parkinson's, the different ways decisions were made on both sides of my family as to when the keys to the car should be taken away, how that was handled, and the different outcomes based on how the different personalities thought about that question. But more than sort of the physical and mental decline, I also love to collect stories of my family about what has been so good in aging. My grandma took all four of her adult daughters on trips individually to far-flung locations around the world, and they still frequently have conversations about their adventures that they went on with one another. I look at my aunt and uncle and the very clever and compassionate ways they are using technology to allow my grandma to live more independently than she would have been able to even 5 or 6 years ago. It's amazing to see what people are able to do. I collect stories, especially about my grandma Betty being super stubborn as she aged, because I think that's one of those rights conferred on you as you get older, the right to be as stubborn as you want to be. I remember a story very near the end of her career at Kaiser. She worked her entire career in the accounting division at Kaiser. And in the last few years, she was given a card to get gas for her company car back in the day when people got company cars. And they gave her a gas card to one of the only gas stations in Oregon that is self-service. Now, my grandma had never in her life pumped her own gas. I mean, the very idea was anathema to her. And she told the HR department that if they were going to give her a card at a self-service station and expect her to act like a gas attendant, she would be dressing like one. She would show up to work the next day in her coveralls with Betty stitched over the pocket. And they took my grandma at her word, and she was given the only card in the company to a full-service gas station. It was one of those moments where the title Stubborn Old Bird felt like it was a really well-earned moniker in that moment, and I aspire when I am an older woman to be so flamboyantly stubborn in my own aging. And to this day, to her credit, my grandmother has still never pumped her own gas in 87 years on this earth. I collect stories from places other than just my family. I've told you all the Athabascan legend about Chidziak and Saw, the two old women who were assumed by their tribe to be nothing more than dead weight. And so they're left to die of exposure in the Alaskan winter. But by their wit and their survival skill, by their wisdom and their friendship, they end up not just surviving the winter together, but the stores that they were able to collect end up saving their tribe the next fall when they come back around and find them again. I love in the Bible the story of Ruth and Naomi. I consider that in its own way to be a story of aging. I love it because it's one of those stories that covers the waterfront of human emotion. There's loss and there's bitterness and there's anger and there's love and loyalty and a little bit of humor and innuendo. It's a great story. But one of the things that I really take to heart from that story is Ruth's deep compassion with Naomi. Naomi was not dealing well with the hand that life had dealt her. And Ruth was consistent and kind and caring. And because of that, Naomi was brought out of her bitterness and back into life. I collect stories that are silly in pop culture. Like, I loved the movie The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. I thought that was delightful, not just for the phenomenal actors that were in it, but also for a story of what does aging look like? How do we choose to live in older life? And if I am lucky enough myself to get to old age, I want to be surrounded by the stories that other people have lived before me so that I can think about how I would like to live out those experiences myself. And so I collect stories as a tool for my own empathy and understanding as a pastor and as a person. When you all share some of your stories with me, I hear those, I remember them, I take them in. They are a gift that will help me, not just now in this moment, but in the life that I hope to continue living. And I'm enumerating all of these different stories because this is how I build up the muscle memory I need in order to follow this fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother so that your days might be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this commandment is really interesting because it marks a shift in the Ten Commandments. So it's really important that we sort of pause and note what's changing between our first four commandments and our last six commandments. Now, many of us, when we picture the Ten Commandments, we think of Moses walking down with his two big stone tablets, one in each arm. And that's a really compelling image, but it actually has this sort of pedagogical or teaching effect to it as well. Because the two commandments, rightly, are divided into two different lists, 1 through 4 and 5 through 10. And the reason they're divided is because the first four commandments are all about our orientation toward God, how we serve God, what God expects of us. So those are the commandments that say, I am the Lord your God, have no other idols before me, do not take the Lord's name in vain, honor the Lord's day. Those are the commandments about our orientation toward God. The second list of commandments, we shift our gaze to our neighbor. These second six commandments are all about how we interact with one another. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. These two tablets really function as two lists. Love God and love your neighbors. This is the sum of the law and the prophets. So this commandment, honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you, it's interesting for a bunch of reasons. It marks this shift. It's interesting because it's a positive commandment. The question of what should we do? Honor your father and mother, not don't dishonor your father and mother. And it's interesting because it carries inside it this sort of implied if-then statement. If you honor your father and mother, then your days shall be long. So we're going to kind of pull these ideas apart a little bit and think about it. So this commandment, one of the things that sort of surprises people when you start thinking about it, is that it's actually not addressed as to children. We often think of this as sort of the children's commandment, right? Like, children, honor your mother and father, because we primarily think of that relationship of parents and children as one of adults to younger, tiny people, right? But this commandment, like the other nine on this list, was primarily and first directed to adults. That's interesting. What does this commandment mean if it's not about my relationship with my young children? But instead, this is a commandment about my relationship to my parents, an adult child with my adult parents. And the question becomes, well, who are our parents? In a very real sense, they are our first neighbors. Very often, even when we move out of our family home and establish our own place of residence, our own family tree, our parents are still our first neighbors, even as that relationship can shift over time. And so this is a natural place for this new list of commandments to start, with our first and our closest neighbors, our parent, the family with which none of us would be here. Everyone has a parent, no matter what your relationship is with them. They are your first neighbor. So if we're going to look at what it means to love our neighbor, we should start with our parents. Now, this is a really good place to pause and just note for a second that parent is a very complicated construction. Now, you all are smart enough to know this on your own, but it really bears saying out loud. I am incredibly lucky. I have parents who were good parents when I was a kid. They made their mistakes, certainly, but they were excellent parents. To this day, they are two of my favorite people in the world. They're two of my closest friends. I am bananas about my parents. I love them. Other people do not have that blessing in their life. For whatever reason, parents that perhaps you never got to know, parents who weren't there by choice or by some other happenstance, parents who have passed away, parents who were abusive or neglectful, parents who just didn't care, or who rejected their child for being a person they didn't expect them to be. Parents are complicated, and we need to think about that when we're talking about this commandment, because our relationships should be honest. And if that's sort of where you're at today, that hearing father and mother for you are kind of hard things to think about, I'd like to offer a couple of options that might help you think more broadly about this commandment. One is that you could choose to use the word elder in this instead of father and mother or parent. I mean, really, the question is, who are those people who for you are your very first neighbors? Who are those people who loved you and cared for you and were present when you needed them to be? It might be a bit easier to think about them than an actual parent. And second, it's really important to note that God doesn't ask us to walk on our knees 100 miles across a hot desert just to make God happy. That's a quote from Mary Oliver, who's a poet I love. When we love our neighbors as ourselves, that carries the implication that we first love ourselves. And to love ourselves means that we have a foundation of respect and care for ourselves from which we then love God and love our neighbor. Loving ourselves sometimes means having boundaries, having healthy relationships, even when that means you can't be in contact with another person who has wounded you too deeply. So if parent for you is someone with whom you cannot have a relationship out of love for yourself and your own boundaries, that is okay to start from that place. You can absolutely honor your parent and not be in a direct, connected relationship with them, honoring them from a distance, if part of honoring them is maintaining your own boundary. That can be part of this commandment, and that is faithful to who God calls us to be. We don't need to sacrifice ourselves in order to love other people. Now, with that sort of very large caveat to how we hear this, this commandment is interesting. It's positive, it's open-ended. It tells us you shall honor your parents, but it doesn't tell us how. It doesn't tell us, oh, honor your parents by making sure they have a really comfortable retirement. Honor your parents by making sure you call your mom at least 3 times a week. It doesn't tell us what to do, but it's positive in its inflection. There's this open-ended quality to this commandment. So the question becomes, how? How do we honor our parents or our elders? Now, I think the first thing this commandment does that is part of honoring our elders is that this commandment carries with it a rejection of the idolization of youth as some sort of golden calf to which we should all bow down before. In America, we love young, new, shiny things, often to the total erasure of the idea of age. You can just ask any actor in Hollywood who happens to be a woman over the age of 40 how many interesting roles there are for them. This commandment begins with a rejection of the idea that those who are older somehow have no value. Instead, they are the first neighbor, the first to be honored. Now, second, this commandment offers us a reminder that we begin indeed with those closest neighbors, but that often our closest neighbors, especially in age, are some of the most vulnerable neighbors that we have. Aging, for all of the wisdom and insight and perspective that it can bring, also puts many of our bodies in increasingly vulnerable positions. Our bodies and our minds change, our relationships with other people shift. We lose some of that able-bodied status that we have enjoyed for so long, and there can be a real loss and a vulnerability in not being able to navigate the world in the way that we were once used to. This commandment calls for compassion and honesty and speaking truthfully as a way of honoring our elders as they age. It is honoring to our parents to have that hard conversation about taking the car keys away, even if they don't want it, even if they get angry about that, because what is not loving is allowing someone to drive when they might injure themselves or even worse, hurt another person, right? It is honoring to be honest about where we and our families are at. Throughout the Hebrew Bible, God is deeply, deeply concerned with those who are most vulnerable. Children without parents, partners who have lost a spouse, every single person as they age, the slaves and servants of those with money and power, even animals who are put to work plowing the field. God is abundantly clear again and again and again that to be honest and compassionate toward those who are vulnerable is an act of love. It is following the commandments. And there's this deep practicality to this particular commandment, and it's what comes out in that implied if-then idea. As we're hearing this commandment, you almost want to say, if you honor your father and mother, then you will live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And that second part is really interesting, because as you'll see, when we go into the further commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not lie, all the rest, there's not really that if-then construction. This commandment is somewhat unique in that regard. And it's not a blessing. God is not saying, if you honor your parents, then I will make your days long. God isn't promising something here. And it's not an implied curse, like, oh, you'll die young, sonny, if you don't take care of your elders, right? This isn't what this commandment is saying. It's simply a statement of likelihood. It's not a threat or a promise. It's an observation. And it's a logical one. If you, as an adult, care for your parents, and your children observe you offering that care, if you teach your children this commandment, as God tells us to do, then it logically follows that hopefully someday, when you are the parent of the adult child in need of care, they will hopefully do the same for you. Your days will be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This commandment has an implied sort of statement of social order. To care for our elders, to honor them, builds a cycle in which, in our own self-interest, we too will be honored as we age. It's not a promise that everyone gets to live into old age. It's simply a hope that this is how we should function. And so this is why I collect stories. I want to know what it looks like to honor my elders. I want to know what people appreciate. I want to see the places where that honor was not given and the consequences that came from that. I want to see what builds up sort of that strong collective social web rather than hiding or erasing age because it's something we're afraid of, as if it were shameful and not an incredible gift to live into old age. Like, can you think of what a gift it is to live that long? I want to know, I want to collect these stories so that I can be effective in my job, so that I can live up to the expectations and hopes of my parents and my aunts and my uncles and all of the others whom I love. But I also want to follow this commandment because selfishly, I want my kids to see me doing it. I would like to live long in the land the Lord God has given me, and I want to benefit from this cycle as well. And you will see that we will get this again and again in this second tablet of commandments, that there is always a thread of self-interest here, that by following these commandments, we are creating a society that benefits not just others, but ourselves as well. That in loving God and loving our neighbor, we also learn to love ourselves. Amen. Now, the hymn that I